Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Good afternoon. I'm Elisa Jaffe, sitting in this week for Ken Schramm. Ed Tesevagen has gone through so much this week with those fires in Clay Elum. Ed is on the line with us right now. Ed, tell us all that you've lost.
Well, we got back out Tuesday morning after the fire. My mobile home with everything in it was gone. My leather and woodworking shop was gone. My camper, my Toyota truck with all of my carpenter tools, and two of our storage buildings were gone.
So that means your home and your livelihood?
Yes.
How did you see it first? Did you get to the scene or did you hear about it first?
No, we drove out and looked at it and saw it all firsthand.
Describe that moment for me, Ed, because that's got to be heart-wrenching. You had a gut feeling, though, didn't you?
Yes, I was hoping. We fought fire out there before in the past, and so I was holding out hope that it would just go around us. And went out there, and the pump house was still standing, and a couple of other outbuildings, and some of vehicle and our ATVs were there, but the mobile was gone, and I just, after the initial shock, started looking around, and everything was gone.
You couldn't salvage anything, Ed?
We haven't gone through the rubble yet. We did see yesterday that my wife's cast iron chicken fryer was laying there in apparently good shape, so once we start going through, we'll see what's still salvageable. I picked up a ratchet laying by where my truck was, and it still goes click when I turn it. So we won't know till the next few days when we start going through things what we still have.
You got out with your lives, though. That's the biggest thing in all of this. You have animals, though, don't you?
Yes, we do. There's four of us that live out there, and between us we have 35 sled dogs and five house dogs and five horses.
What happened to the animals?
We had about an hour head start on this, and we got a very few personal possessions out of the house, and got ourselves set up to load the animals, and we left about 5 minutes ahead of the flames.
That was all you had, is 5 minutes before the fire was coming at you?
Well, we had an hour's notice,
right,
that it was coming our way, and we watched it crest the ridge above us. And at that point, we started loading dogs in trailers and trucks and cars and drove out the driveway about 5 minutes before the flames engulfed the property.
Where are those sled dogs now? You're saying 35 huskies?
Yes.
When you don't have a home, where are they?
Currently kenneled with the wonderful people at Ellensburg Animal Hospital. We have filled them to capacity, and they have just bent over backwards to help us out with them.
What else do you need, Ed, when you've lost everything and, you know, it was the four of you there and the animals and you don't have anything? What do you need from the community right now? Who's helping you?
Well, at this point, we're still sort of in shock and it's hard to tell what we need. The community has been wonderful. They've got clothing for people and toiletries. And we got up Tuesday morning and no toothbrush. So we went into one of the centers and got shampoo and soap and toothbrush. The truck stop that my wife works for has put us up in a motel for three nights now. And they found a 26-foot trailer that we could get for a very reasonable price. And we're gonna move that out onto the property for the time being. And everything is just moment by moment. When you reach for something and it's not there, then you have to put it on your list and decide whether it's a has-to-have or can you do without it.
Ed Tassavagan joining us this afternoon, and he lost his home to those fires near Clay Elum and everything in them. He and his wife survived. They got their animals out, but finding that they're losing even the simplest things, the toothbrush. You've got the one cooking pot, and that's about it. But what does it do to your heart, Ed, knowing that you have to start all over and looking at your wife and knowing all of the things that she lost?
Well, it's hard, but we have to look at it collectively as stuff. You know, we can always get more stuff. We have our lives. If we think about something specific, like the little tyke slide in the front yard that the grandkids played on is all now melted and twisted, I get a little choked up. But they're older now. They need a bigger slide. So as we go through the rubble and start finding things, I'm sure there'll be hard moments. But we just have to keep on.
You've seen the devastation. You've gone back to the site. What does it look like? Is it still all covered in the fire retardant?
No, the fire retardant didn't get there till the houses a little further down the canyon. There are places out there that look a lot like the lunar landscape.
What do you mean?
It's just black and gray and no vegetation. With rocks sticking up through that had previously been hidden in the grass.
Not the beautiful setting that you came to call home. And do you have neighbors who've lost their homes as well?
Yes. Right below us was an older mobile, and 200 feet away was a nice two-story stick-built house. The mobile home is still standing, but the two-story house is gone. Neighbors on the ridge across the highway from us, two or three are intact. One lost the barn, but the house is still there, and a couple of the houses up there are gone.
What a rough time for Ed and his family, and we'll continue our conversation with him in just a moment. But for those of you who have experienced a loss there, or homeowners who are living near the wildfire area, there are some tips, you know, from insurance companies. You want to make sure you've contacted your insurer or your agent as soon as possible to start the whole claims process, because there could be some coverage for emergency shelter, such as a motel, if you can't go back into your home. And you want to give them all the documents and the forms and the data they need to file a claim. Keep a log of all your conversations involving your claim, including the name of the person you talked to, what was said, and when you spoke. These are good tips for anybody, any homeowner at any time, really. And ask your insurer about additional living expenses if your home is destroyed, to save all the relevant receipts. Take photos of the damage, take video of the damage. And if you don't have a home inventory, which is a good thing to do right about now, try to put a list together of what was in the house, especially all the valuables, and make that mental walk through the home and visualize all the contents, and get the credit card records, if you can, that have been maintained by your card issuer, so that you can prove your past purchases and the value of all the big ticket items that you lost.
Reporting the news, understanding the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
219, Elisa Jaffe in for Ken Schramm. Gonna be a hot one. Just try to find a place to stay cool. Gonna get into the mid-90s today and again tomorrow before it cools off a little bit this weekend. But it is really hot in Clay Elum, and where that wildfire has devoured dozens of homes and structures, evacuated hundreds of families have been evacuated. And we were talking just a moment ago to Ed, who was telling us how, you know, he came home to find his mobile home gone, and that it looked like a lunar landing site, that the ground was all charred, no trees, just a few rocks in the area, and he had to quickly get out of there before the fire came along. He had about an hour to evacuate and had to get horses out of there, 35 sled dogs, and most of his belongings are just gone. He and his wife, he says, lost everything. Can you describe the devastation to those of us? We've seen the video through the news reports, and we're hearing from a few of the families, but when you look out and you see it and it's your community, can you help us to understand that?
I can generally spot the people around town that have lost things like I have. There's a look in their eye that, you know, where am I right now? Like I say, it's just a moment-by-moment thing where it occurred to me the other day, we don't have a telephone anymore. So we went to the phone company and told them that, you know, we need to no longer have phone service. And the nice people there said, well, we'll just list you as on vacation and you won't lose your phone number and you won't get a bill till you get hooked back up.
Finding out how many people have huge hearts and thinking about you at a time like this, aren't you, Ed?
It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. And it's not just our dogs and our five horses. The rodeo grounds here in Ellensburg that many of your listeners have been to, I'm sure. There's about 500 horses over there. It looks like the rodeo is in full swing right now.
But it's all the horses that had to be evacuated, so it's not the rodeo that's in full swing. Ed Tassavagan, thank you for taking some time to be with us, and our hearts really go out to you and hope you find peace in all of this. And just thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome, and thank you for your care and support.
KMOFAR's John Humbert got a chance also to sit down and talk to Ed Tassavagan, and I assume you saw the devastation at his home, John.
Well, unfortunately, we weren't able to get up there.
Oh,
we
I thought you were heading there. Yeah.
Yeah, we were planning to go up with Ed, and not only him, but another family that was gracious enough to let us tag along. They also could only go up for a few minutes, and crews were not allowed to go with them. It's still a pretty difficult situation, and even though the fires are out and the smoke is pretty much cleared through some of those areas east of the fire lines that exist right now, you still can't get to them unless you're there, prove that you have ownership of those homes, and then you can only go up there for a few minutes, even just to get medication. And then you've got to come right back down.
Oh, that's something that's interesting, because so people have to try to get in the house just to find their prescriptions.
You bet. They don't even know what they've entirely left behind.
How are things going? It was about 25% of the fire we heard was contained this morning. What's changed?
It seems vastly improved at this point. The problem is it's circling back on areas that it normally hadn't been going to. So what we've been seeing are new areas that we went by earlier in the week that now have areas that were completely untouched, where now the fire has completely gone around all the darkened, charred bits, and now is getting closer to areas that have greener vegetation, drier vegetation. So it's new growth. We actually just got back a little while ago from an inmate group. They're working with DNR. Those folks were taking their chainsaws, clearing brush. They've got to get everything 50 feet away from one of these dirt roads. That's going to be the new line of attack. That's the new line in the sand to stop that fire from encroaching and coming and rolling farther down the hill to some really, really nice developments along Lambert Road.
Luke Ducey was telling us earlier that we might not see this fire go out completely until the snow falls.
That was one of those things that caused an audible gasp from people in the audience last night down in Ellensburg when they said that, to say that there was still going to be smoke in some spots that they just could not get to. Things are going to be still smoldering until that there are snowflakes falling from the sky. Just amazing. But you think about the scope and how wide this fire stretched, 1.13 miles in length, DJ. It's amazing.
John Humbert, you stay safe. Thanks for being with us.
What happens next happens on the KMO Afternoon News today at 3. Now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on KMO News Radio.
Alisa Jaffe in this week for Ken Schramm. It's 2:29. More than 120,000 lives could be saved with a quick and easy test. That's what we're hearing from health officials. If you were born between 1945 and 1965, you're at much higher risk for hepatitis C. It's a virus which can cause serious liver diseases and liver cancer. And the Centers for Disease Control is urging all baby boomers to get this one-time blood test for hepatitis C. If you do that, doctors are saying 120,000 lives could be saved by finding and treating people who have the virus and don't even know it. My secret crush has a little bit of an injury this afternoon. Production on Iron Man 3 is on hold after star Robert Downey Jr. hurt his foot during filming today. They said he was performing a stunt and there's going to be a short delay in the production while he recuperates. I guess it's not a secret crush now that I've told you I got a thing for the 47-year-old actor, is it? But he was shooting the third installment in the superhero franchise in North Carolina, and that'll be out next summer. He plays that billionaire playboy, Tony Stark.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Alisa Jaffe in for Ken Schramm. And, you know, last month, Mitt Romney told ABC News in this exclusive interview that he would go back and he would check if he ever paid a tax rate lower than 13.9%, the rate he paid back in 2010. Well, he was speaking to reporters in South Carolina today, and he said he has taken a look back and that, you know, he's saying it's the same thing. He's looked back and it was 13.9% or 13%. And so he's, you know, remembering what he said. And a lot of people remember what these politicians are saying and they take it to heart. Ross Murdy is one of those folks. He is the owner of a Village Corner Deli in Davenport, Iowa. And Ross remembered something that President Obama said, and he wasn't so happy about it. But the president got to know all about it, didn't he, Ross? Because, Ross, your business was catering this week for the president's visit to Iowa.
Yes, it was. We catered for the press corps, the White House press corps, that was following President Obama around. So.
Now, some people would say that's really cool. You and your co-owner, he agreed to do it. You weren't there when he said, okay, let's do it. And you guys have a little bit of a difference in the politics, don't you?
Absolutely. But business is business. And, you know, I would have, even if had I fielded the call, I would have taken the job anyway. You know, I see no side of the aisle when it comes to business.
Okay, so you might have a difference when it comes to what the government does, but not when it comes to serving up the veggie parmesan, right? Bacon.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so what did you do that caught the attention of the media when they showed up in Iowa covering the president?
Well, we were, I put my T-shirt on before we went in. The location we were catered in was just right across the street from my deli. So we just wheeled it across the street, and the main entrance to the campaign rally was right there. And I put my shirt on, wheeled the stuff across the street, and we went in the back door. And, you know, I had a few Secret Service people looking at us, and they didn't say anything. And went in there, and we started setting up. And after we got pretty much set up, people started taking notice of what my shirt said. And so I had a lot of people coming over with their camera phones and whatever and taking pictures. And then
because your T-shirt was blaring the message, government didn't build my business, I did. Government
Absolutely.
Didn't build my business, I did. That was a complete slam against Obama, wasn't it?
It was basically just saying in response to what President Obama had said a month or so ago.
And it was a remark that the president made a few weeks ago, and he was talking about Mitt Romney, and he was using it sort of as an anti-business sentiment, wasn't he? He was saying, well, the government is providing to businesses by building roads and providing education and other services, so if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Well,
right, you know, which he fails to mention, though, that the dollars that build those roads and provide the education come from the taxpayers via taxes, you know. So some people take this as a slam upon the people who build the roads and provide the education. That's not it at all. You know, I mean, these are hardworking people. But what he said was, we didn't build our businesses. You know, what about these roads and whatever? Well, the roads got built. Those people got paid to build the roads, and they got paid from taxes.
I just think it's fascinating and rather funny, and you got a lot of chutzpah there, Ross Murdy, for being the caterer when the president comes to town, and then you wear a T-shirt slamming what he said. How did that go over in town, and how did it go over with your co-owner?
Well, as we're walking in, he's like, you're really not going to continue wearing that on the way in. I said, oh, yes, I am. He's like, you know, one of the last things he said was, I hope this doesn't make the national news. So.
Well, and too late for that one, isn't it, my friend?
Right.
You know, but I know the White House would perform background checks on people for security reasons. Did they do a background check on you guys before serving the, being able to serve the food in the area?
You know, I really was on the outside looking in because when we took the quote for the catering and that type of thing, I was in Chicago, and I was on the way back from Chicago when Brett, my partner, called my business partner called me and said, "Hey, you never guess who's coming to town, and we're going to be catering the event." And
so you don't even know, because I thought they checked on contractors for security reasons, but aren't really necessarily vetting people for their political views, because nobody asked if you were pro or anti-Obama, did they?
The first person that asked if I was a registered Republican was the gal from the Washington Post who interviewed me after I was already in and now the pictures have been taken. So
after she sees you standing there with the shirt on. So did you come in contact with President Obama yourself? Did you serve up a dish of food to him or just the press corps?
No, it was just the press corps. We were pretty sure that we weren't going to be feeding the president, and you know, I wish I had, and you know, I would have hoped to have a thoughtful discussion with him, but I was pretty sure that he wasn't going to be in there with the press corps. So.
Have you heard anything from folks in the Romney camp who want to have you, you know, show up at the convention or anything wearing your T-shirt?
No, actually, I did get the T-shirt through the Romney campaign, and but I did have a personal voicemail. I was rather busy when he called, but Mitt Romney called me and personally thanked me, and you know, was very gracious for my courage and doing what I did. So,
and you didn't pick up; it was a voicemail.
Well, I think he, I don't know where he's at right now, but you know, running the deli, I don't. You know, if I got customers in here, I'm taking care of business. I can't pick up my cell phone at any time. You know,
just like your shirt said. You know, we were in here and we were talking about you're the new Joe the Plumber. You know, when they made that a big deal at the last convention, so it's going to be Ross the Deli Guy.
Well, I don't think so, but you know, it's been fun, and I, you know, the main thing was to get the point out there and not to let that die about what President Obama said.
But what did it mean to have Obama come to your community? Wasn't that good for business?
It was great for our little village down here, and you know, had a ton of people down here, and business was good. Absolutely, you know, I'd like to have them back tomorrow, next week, you know, so no problem.
Yeah, you'll be wearing a different outfit though, right?
Well, I might be vetted a little bit better, but you know, we did get the comment from the press corps that it was the best food that they had on this little campaign swing. So, you know, just to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. You know?
Should definitely pat yourself on the back for that. Hey, you know, in a little bit, we're going to be talking to another restaurant owner who's tried to do something new when it comes to folks standing in line or sitting in his restaurant, and they're always on the cell phones. What do you notice in your deli now with people on cell phones, and how much does that annoy you?
Well, yeah, I mean, just when they're coming up and it's their time to order and they're talking on their phone. But they kind of put their own pressure on them when there's a line right behind them. So I try to be very tactful about it. But if they're still deep in their conversation, I'll just move to the next person behind them, and they'll just have to wait till I'm ready to take care of orders. So.
Oh, so you can go to the back of the line if you do it with you guys.
Yeah.
What do you think about giving people a break? Would you give anybody a discount if they checked their phone and didn't talk in the restaurant or in your deli?
Nah, that's not that big an issue here.
Nah, so. Not going to happen for you guys. Okay, well, we're going to be talking in a moment to somebody who's actually doing that and seeing if the patrons are taking him up on that. Ross Murty, thank you for joining us this afternoon on Newsline PM. Fun talking to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Alisa Jaffe in this afternoon for Ken Schramm. Good to have you with us today. And it is about 11 minutes before 3 o'clock. You know, when you walk into a restaurant, there are some things you just bank on seeing. You know, you're going to see the cash register. You're usually going to see a server and the beautiful settings on the table and all that kind of stuff. Hold on a second. I think my phone is ringing. Let me see if there's something I need to do. I was playing Words with Friends. Oh, wait a sec. Oh, that's just the exact kind of thing that would really upset you, Mark Gold, wouldn't it? Mark Gold. Oh, yeah, can you hear my words with friends as I'm playing it, Mark?
Yes.
Yes, you can. And that's the kind of thing patrons in Eva Restaurant in Los Angeles have been doing that it sounds like it's sort of frustrating you.
Not so much me.
The other patrons, maybe?
Yeah, not even the other patrons. It's really about just, you know, I think people connecting again with each other and not having the distraction of a cell phone on the table.
So distracted dining, though, is something we have come to see as a norm almost these days. I know I'll end up playing Scrabble at breakfast when I go out to breakfast with my fiancé. But you're doing something a little different with your customers to encourage them to not be distracted by their cell phones. What are you doing?
Well, we're giving 5% off their total bill. I mean, if they choose to come in and decide to turn in their cell phone to a receptionist, we'll give them 5% off the total bill for the evening.
That's a pretty big bite out of the business, I would think, for you.
Well, you know, it's something that we're able to do. I mean, I wish it could be more because for me it's about, you know, we really want people to experience what Eva, what we want, you know, what Eva's about. And also just really connecting again. We, you know, we feel like, you know, it's been lost, the art of conversation and sharing emotions and talking to each other instead of through the cell phone. And so we're trying to bring that back and just, and we're willing to reward people for turning in their cell phones and you know, really enjoying the experience here at Eva.
I love that. I love that you're trying to do that by saying, okay, here, just give it to us. So do you say, when they walk in the door, what do you do to encourage them not to use their cell phone? How do you handle it with the customers?
Well, you know, it's written on our menu. On the bottom of the menu, stating that we'll give you 5% if you were to turn in your cell phone.
So it's not just turn it off. It's turn it into the desk?
Yeah, they have to turn it in.
Uh-huh.
They pin it in.
So it's not vibrating under the table, and then they're looking and all that, and then you still have to make them pay the, you know, give them the discount. So they have to turn it in at the desk, and so they check it in, and then they get it when they leave.
And yeah, and then yes, they get the cell phones as they leave.
So when a server approaches the table, do you say, "Would you like a glass of wine, or can I get you an appetizer, and can I take your cell phone?"
If they haven't turned it in at the door, yeah, the server will approach the table. On the approach to the table, they'll offer them, you know, the chance again to, you know, listen, if you'd like to turn your cell phone tonight, you know, we're giving a 5% towards the check, 5% off towards your check. And, you know, if you're up for it, you'll have a great experience.
Okay, so how many are saying, okay, I'll bite. I'll give you the phone and take the deal?
Right now, it's about 40%.
Really? I would think it would be higher than that. That many people won't give it up, huh?
Well, you know, it's just really just came to the forefront, you know, a couple of days ago. So prior, you know, we've been implementing, it's not even a policy, but we implemented the procedure, you know, a couple months ago, and about 40% of our guests would turn in the phone. And then now, since it's just really, I think it went viral, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how many people turn it in. I think people, whoever hears about the idea, really, they think it's a fantastic idea and they're very excited about it.
Oh, I think it's so unique. I love it, Mark. Mark Gold is the owner of Eva Restaurant in L.A., and he and his wife run this restaurant. It's a space with about, what, for 40 people, maybe?
Yeah, we see 42 people in the restaurant, so it's very small.
It's small, intimate, European flair, so I can't believe that people wouldn't give up their phones. It's not like they're sitting in Burger King and it's, you know, where you don't need the same kind of setting. This is a setting where you don't need to have your phone. You want to be communicating with the person you're sitting with.
Well,
I would think that's about
it. We're also in Los Angeles.
Yes.
It's a different story.
And it is a different story because people are so connected. They think that they are so important that somebody needs them at all hours, and so they need to be available on the phone?
You know, I guess, I mean, people, that's a whole philosophy. Like, people are so connected to their phones that they're disconnected from each other, and that's what we're trying to bring back, the connection between physical people.
Did you ever notice that there are a lot of people who are serving now who don't give up their phones? Because I know my brother plays Words with Friends, and he's a server at a really nice restaurant in town. And I'm always wondering how he just beat me on Words with Friends when I thought he was supposed to be serving some of the diners. So do you see that amongst your staff?
You know, we have a policy on our floor that servers are not allowed to have their cell phone on the floor.
So maybe if they're in the break room, that's an okay thing.
Yeah, you know, we're very small, so again, we really don't have a break room or anything, but there's no cell phones on the floor.
Well, I hope what you're doing catches on, Mark, because it's a really neat idea. Distracted dining is not as impressive as a beautiful meal with a wonderful conversation with the people you care about. Yes. So thank you.
We agree. Well, thank you.
Yeah, take care of yourself.